everything in his life, just to abandon it all. What moves a man to go out on a limb? And when he gets out there, he endures all those things from other men and all those difficult and demanding things in life sometimes. What moves a man to want to do that? Has the love of God ever moved you in such a way that you might want to go out on a limb for God? And there's an old adage that says, nothing ventured. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Good morning. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. And there are those who would be Christians who are always concerned sometimes about minimum requirements. They ask questions as to how many services must I attend? How much do I have to give? And they are those who have not yet discovered the joy of serving the Lord. I got to tell you this morning that there is joy even in your pain and your suffering in your daily life. There is joy to serving the Lord. And there are those who want to just do the minimum things to just get by. Those people haven't discovered what it is. What a wonderful joy it is to serve God. But to me, only the most enthusiastic risk taker will want to stand in judgment in front of God when he comes with the minimum things that he's done in his life, with the least things that he can get by with. Can you imagine standing in judgment in front of God? You know, God, I did just the least that I can possibly do. I didn't go out on a limb and venture out and gain anything. I just did what I, amen. Some people just want to do the minimum. They don't want to do what it takes. They don't want to do what God calls of them to do. And they're going to stand in judgment, having aimed no higher than the least he could get by with. I want to speak to you about a person who went out on a limb. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse number 23. 2 Corinthians 11, the verse is number 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers from among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. What moves a man? What moves a man to want to go through all these things in his life that are just not popular? What moves a man to go through all these things that are just not accepted by other men? What moved this man? A religious leader, Saul of Tarsus, Paul later on to be identified. He was a religious leader with a comfortable position and a bright future. But he abandoned it all. He went out on a limb. And he endured a difficult and a demanding life. And I asked, why did he do that? Could it possibly be the love of God that compelled him to do that? Why do you do, or rather not do, the things that you do? And the things that you do, are you compelled by the love of God to do those things day after day after day? Because serving God is a lifestyle. It's a repetition. It's a daily feast on the blessings that God has given us in his life through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And his Holy Spirit keeps us equipped, you see. And he gives us all we need, Peter said to the Jews of dispersion, for life and godliness. What is it that you do? Could it be for the love of God that you do it? There are those that I might want to refer to as the indoctrinated ones. They know very well the church traditions, and they can spot out the church models. They can say just about any scripture that you might want. But there's no fire in their bones. They don't have any zeal at all for God any longer. You know, when you get out of that water, it would be wonderful if God would take us all up to heaven from the baptistry. But God doesn't do that because God wants us to serve him in spirit and in truth. We have to serve God. Amen? Amen. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14, the conclusion of the whole matter is this: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And God will bring every deed into the judgment and every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. We have to serve. Gotta serve God. But there are those who are indoctrinated with just religion. And they have no more zeal for God. It's like gasoline. You fill them up at the beginning, and as they run out, they never go back to get any more. They don't volunteer. They don't try to get to know other people. They don't make an effort to encourage or help others, and they are not usually generous when it comes to giving. They think that Christianity is about coming to church on Sundays, and they don't realize that the only attending worship is for serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. The hot fact of the matter is that worship in Bible study church are times when the Lord is serving us. He's given us his spirit. He's given us his word. God is serving us during those times, and he calls us to assemble and not forsake that assembling, because he has something for us. Not only does he have something for us, he is there among us. But there are those who have been truly impacted by God's love, and they show it by their desire to serve. They show it by their desire to work. They show it by their desire to give and sacrifice. Those people go out on a limb for God. Are you one of them? Are you one? I mean, if you turn over the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, if the Bible is written all over again, would your name be there? Abraham, by faith. Noah, by faith. Enoch, by faith. Oh, you see somebody by the name of Jacob and Joseph and Rahab, would your name be there? Would you go out on a limb for God, seeking a country that you just can't see? Because God has called us to sacrifice our very lives for him. What is it that you do? And whatever it is that you do, is it because of the love of God? Is it compelling you to do such a thing? They're brothers and sisters that serve and work and give and sacrifice. They go out on a limb for God, and these brothers and sisters don't say much. They don't say much. But their work and their contribution speaks volumes. Speaks volumes to the world, because the world can look at them and see Christ in them. It speaks volumes to the church, because people in the church community can look at them as an example of encouragement from God. It speaks volumes to God as well. Jesus said, if you do not confess me before men on earth, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. It speaks volumes, because your name is ringing in heaven off of the tongue of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is your name there? Maybe to me it's just a question of personal integrity. Maybe it's a question of honesty or self-awareness. But one thing I do know, church, I do know is that those who are painfully aware of their true condition before God are usually the ones that are most productive. There are those who are spiritually nearsighted as well in God's, just in his kingdom, and they're not usually moved at all to do anything. They're not moved to abandon it all. They're not moved to go out on a limb for God. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 through 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will save it. And I heard Paul say a while back, he says, I am the chief of sinners. Did you ever hear Paul say that? How about you? How about me? I know I can raise my hand high. I know that I sin and fall short of God's glory every waking day of my life. I do. I can raise two hands and legs, everything. I am, before God, I am not worthy. I'm just not. And I have to buffet my body daily, as Paul said, so that I might be able to understand God's will for my life and to just do that. What moves a man? What moves a man to want to live a life for God? What moves him? Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. And sometimes I find myself too busy going about my life to please God. Because I'm too busy going about my life to please myself, and I'm too busy to go out on a limb for God. And when I do go out on a limb, it's not to God's approval. I go out on a limb to get something that my eyes have seen that simply is just not good for me. Oh, look, we went on a limb before. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. We went out on a limb, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took up the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They didn't climb a tree. They went out on a limb and they got what was forbidden by God. The world is full of trees like that, church. We see with our eyes and we smell and we hear with our ears and we seek after the things that are not of God. We go out on a limb, but it's for selfish purposes. When are we going to buy into the fact that God gave us all and we ought to give back as God? What moves a man to want to do that? What moves a man to not want to be selfish? To not want to gain his own selfish gain? What moves a man to want to look out for you, and you look out for you, and you look out for me, and I look out for you? What moves a man to that? Could it be the love of God? Could it be? Listen, Adam and Eve went out on a limb, and the result of their action has caused a separation between God and man. Our sins today, church, are ever before us. We've got to look at them. We've got to examine them, because life is too short. It's too short. Just the other day, I was 16. Here's 40 years later. 40 years later, where did it go? I can't even climb a tree anymore. Our sins are ever before us. And our souls are in danger of death because we have a desire to continue to please the flesh and with little or no concern for the consequences. I love the phrase, but God. Oh, but God. Listen, I'm truly grateful that there is more than just one limb. There's more than just one tree. There's more than one choice to be made, and that the love of God makes it all possible. Yes, God went out on a limb for each and every one of us. Romans chapter 5. Open your Bibles up. God went out on a limb for you and for you and for you. God went out on a limb for me as well. And I am grateful that there was more than just one. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says, you see, I like that, right? I love that scripture. You see, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, but though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God, But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, even while we sin right now where we're sitting, Christ died. I need you to get that, church. Oh, Christ died for us. Let me give it to you this way. You're going down the street. You mind your own business. You got a lot on your mind. You got a lot on your mind. But you pass by a policeman who has radar on you. You look down at your speed armor and you, oh my gosh. I've run past the speed limit. You didn't intend to do it, but you did it. How do you feel? Helpless. Hopeless. Weak. You can slow down, can't you? And you immediately slow down, don't you? But it's too late. Amen. But it's too late. You can drive the speed limit the rest of the way home if you want, but it doesn't change the fact that there are blue lights flashing in your rearview mirror. You're helpless. You can't fix what you've done. You can't correct your mistake at that time. We're unable to save ourselves, even sometimes from ourselves, church. We're unable to change our condition. We're helpless because we are now lawbreakers. But rather than us paying the price for our own mistakes, the Bible says, at the right time, Jesus. At the right time, Jesus pays the price for our mistakes. At just the right moment, at the perfectly appointed time, Jesus pays the price by dying for each and every one of us. We're weak. We're helpless. We're without strength. And we are ungodly. We're not good. We're not righteous. We're not deserving. We are not worthy. I'm talking about Brother Collins. Amen. I'm not. I'm not someone that's worthy of dying for in the condition that I'm in. I'm not. I'm helpless. And I'm just so ungodly. But I've been caught red-handed. I've been caught red-handed in my mistakes. And it's going to lead to some condemnation. But verse number 7 in Romans chapter 5 says this. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die. The point is clear. Christ died for me. They don't die even for worthy people. They don't do it. No one wants to go out on a limb for you. Who wants to go out on a limb for you? Who wants to go out and get your bicycle where the dogs are barking at? You remember that? You go get my bike for me. They got some dogs out there. I don't want to do that. I mean, one time I was helping my friend cut grass and he knew they had bees over the eaves of the shed, but he didn't tell me. And he left that little patch right there. Can you help me cut the grass, he said. I says, yes. More than happy to help you cut that little patch. That's all you have left. Give me that mower. The mower's probably still running, and I'm still running because the bees. Listen, the point here is very clear. No one wants to go out on a limb for you. And Paul is asking us to think about the difficulty of finding a person to die on behalf of another. Even for people that we know and like, our first inclination is we're not going to die for them. Men don't even want to die for their wives. Wives don't want to die for their husbands, but Christ died for the church. We might try to save somebody from harm, but we're not going to intentionally die to keep them alive. It's just not happening. Even for people that we think are good people, we don't raise our hand and says, you know what? Don't shoot him. Shoot me. Who does that? Who does that? Jesus did not die for the righteous. He died for me. Jesus didn't die for good people. He died for for me. Jesus didn't die for people that were worthy. He died for unworthy me. Me. Look at verse number 6 again. Who did he die for? Jesus died for the guilty. I got two hands up, church, two legs. He died for the guilty. Jesus died for the ungodly. And the point in verse number 8 is this. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died. And how many people have decided to be executed for a capital crime on behalf of someone else? How many people decide to do that? How many people have you seen get the death sentence and someone run up to that guilty person and says, you know, don't worry, I'm going to be killed for you instead. Even though I'm innocent, I will die on your behalf. What Paul is saying here is this does not happen. It never, ever happens. We would hardly die for a good person. Jesus died for the ungodly. And we need to look at ourselves and see who we are as we stand next to God and his word. We're so unworthy. But God, amen. But God, through Jesus the Christ, his son, he did much more than what most people are willing to do. Jesus the Christ, God's son and our savior, he went out on a limb. What's the definition of that? What's the definition? In or into a dangerous or uncompromising position. That's where Jesus went. Where one is not joined or supported by anyone else. I see my Lord going out on a limb in Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36 through 45. Jesus comes into the place called Gethsemane and says unto his disciples, sit here with me while I go and pray. I see him walking towards that tree. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but if it's your will, let me go out on a limb. Amen. Lord, if it's your will, just let me go out there. And he comes to the disciples again, and he finds them sleeping again. And he says to Peter, you just can't watch for me 1 hour? 1 hour while I pray, can't you cover for me, Peter? Church, can't we cover for God? Can't we just watch for 1 hour? Can't we just watch and pray? I see my Lord going out on a limb in Gethsemane, and he finds the people that's supposed to be with him sleeping. And he says, watch and pray, and don't enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He prayed 3 times, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Let me go out on a limb. In that Hebrews 12, 2, it says for the joy that was set before Christ. It says for the joy he went to the cross. The joy he went out there. I had a good time. I enjoyed myself climbing trees and going out on limbs until I fell. Doesn't feel good. I didn't die. I didn't die on that limb. I didn't do it. But we hung Jesus out on a limb. We hung him out there. Luke 23 and 33, the Bible says, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull, there they crucified him. It was on a tree, church. We hung him out on a tree. God's son, Jesus the Christ and our savior, we hung him out to die because we wanted our own selfish gain. We wanted what God says we couldn't have, and we killed his son as a result of that. we crucified him. That's the highest example of love that can ever be shown by any one man. How can a person show another any greater love than dying on our behalf? Saying I love you is not greater than that. Flowers are not greater than that. You can give me all the presents in the world, they're not greater than that. Death is the greatest picture of love. And Christ did that for us. He went out on a limb and he died. Adam and Eve went out on a limb and they died. But God says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was resurrected by God. We put him on the cross, but God raised him up. Raised him up. And if you go out on a limb for God and you just happen to die while you're out there on the limb doing God's will, don't you know that he says in the end, in the last day, I will raise you up? You up. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Let's finish it off, church. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. The death of Jesus means this to me. It means that I am justified. And justified means that rather than being declared guilty as we ought to be, we are declared not guilty. Even though we stand before God as guilty, washed in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ declares us as not guilty. Not guilty. We are acquitted. We set free. Jesus paid the price for our sins by pouring out his blood on that tree and dying for us. And he did it so that we don't have to bear the punishment for the things that we have done. We've done a lot of things. Some things we don't even want to talk about anymore. Some things we've forgotten. But I want to tell you this. If you've done something that you know about, repent before God. Because if you don't, you're going to die. Let God know you're sorry for those things. Don't keep holding on to them. Go out on a limb and save your own. Save your life. I don't want you to fool yourself into thinking that you can serve God or please God or even have peace with God without the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus is the only way to come to God. There is no other way. No other way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26 one more time. I want you to see something, church. Matthew chapter 26, and let's start in verse number 25. You see a man by the name of Judas right there, right? That man Judas, he went on a limb himself, didn't he? He went on a limb for 30 pieces of silver. Didn't he do that? And he betrayed the God of heaven for 30 pieces of silver. He says, look, guys, y'all want him? I'll go on a limb for him. I'll deliver him to you. Just give me that. Cut me in. Cut me in. Y'all ever want to be cut in on something that's really not? Well, we won't fool with that. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For this is my blood. I went out on a limb and I was pierced in the side, and the blood and the water flowed from my side. For this is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the next time you take communion and you're not right with God, the next time you take communion and you're sitting there mad, the next time you take communion and you're thinking about something else other than God, the next time you take communion and you're thinking or you're praying after drinking a bit of that grape juice, I want you to remember that it represents the blood of Christ that was shed expressly for you. For you. Remember, it represents the blood of Christ. And realize that without the blood of Jesus, your prayers to God will never be heard. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, your service to God will not be acceptable. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins will never be forgiven. So when you take communion, be thankful. Be thankful. Because it's the one time during the week where you can truly focus on the heart and soul of your faith. You can focus and you can appreciate the reason why you have what you have. And the reason simply is, church, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want you to get that. We say it over and over and over and over, and they think it's just repetition for nothing. But God says through his word, through John, for God, the word for there is because of the love of God, because he is who he is, because he spoke it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He put him out on a tree. He went on a limb. He took his own punishment. God took his own medicine. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. God hanged on a tree for you and me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, do you believe it? Or do you just want to stand in judgment with the minimum stuff that you can do for God and think you're going to just get in? Oh, I'm not telling you got to just set the world on fire and just practice religion. I'm telling you, all you got to do is just be a Christian. Just obey God. That's just as simple as can be. Just obey God. When you take that communion, I want you to focus your heart and soul and your faith and appreciate the reason why you have what you have. Because Jesus went on a limb for each and every one of us. Here's the adage again. You ready? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Are you ready? Are you willing to abandon the world and allow the love of God to move you into the life of Christ? There's more than one tree out there, church. Thank God for that. There's more than one limb. Thank God for that. But the tree that I'm trying to get to is the tree that God calls me to. He says, listen, if you obey my will, you can have the tree of life. You have eternal life with God and sup with God daily around his throne and sing his praises. Hallelujah to God in the highest. Hallelujah to God in the highest. Thank God for Jesus Christ that he went out on that limb. Are you ready? He tells us in John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. We got to believe, church. Just said in John 3:16, we got to believe. We got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He says in John 8:24, "Verily, verily, I say to you, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Let me tell you something. There are people that understand the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but they don't want to go out on a limb. They're cowards. Look in the book of Revelation for a second. He says cowards and liars and all those people that are named there are going to hell. Cowards and liars. Doesn't say saints. Doesn't say those who are baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say people that repent of their sins. It says people who don't repent of their sins are going to die. Going to die. I don't want you to be a coward. I don't want you to be a liar. I want you to understand what God has called you to, a life of abundance in Christ. Go out on a limb, church. Obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Live your life as if you belong to God. Let's repent of our sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let's confess Christ. Romans 10, 32 and following. Jesus said it with his own mouth. If you confess me before men on earth, I'm going to confess you with my Father, which is in heaven. But if you don't talk about me on earth, I'm not going to talk about you. Amen. We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. That same man, his name was Saul, endured all those hardships, all those persecutions, even sometimes to the point of death. Ananias came to him in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. He says, "Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise now and be baptized, washing away your sins. Why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? Why can't you just go on a limb and let God move you with his love? Or are you going to go out on a limb for yourself and gain your own selfish end, continuing to sin day after day after day, and just like Eve, giving it to your spouse as well? Sin doesn't just stay with you. It stinks. People can smell it on you. They can see it on you, and it's contagious. Stop going out on a limb eating those things that is forbidden by God. Let's eat the bread of life. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Don't let Satan keep you in your chair. Don't be a coward. Don't lie to yourself. Go out on a limb. If we can help you to accept Christ this morning, come as we stand and sing the invitation song.